talk. We're going to kind of follow up on this morning's sermon. Again, talking about resurrection and kind of a conclusion that Paul comes to about what does resurrection mean to me? What did resurrection mean to Paul? Well, we know it meant Jesus had been raised, so it certainly verified and validated all of the things that Jesus had taught and who Jesus was. But specifically, how did it apply to Paul? Well, Paul knew that he had hope and promise because Jesus had been resurrected in the resurrection of the dead in his own resurrection. You remember, not in the Corinthian passage that we're going to read in a moment, but Paul will write to the Philippians that to live is Christ and to die is gain. That resurrection left the Apostle Paul knowing that he would actually be better off to die, for to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord, which is a tremendous amount of faith that Paul has. But Paul understands, and what did Paul see? Paul had seen the resurrected Lord. Jesus had appeared to him. And so Paul had seen that, and he even states that when he gives the list of all the people. He appeared to the 12. He appeared to 500 at one time. He appeared to James and then the rest of the apostles. He says, so Jesus appeared to many on different occasions, and he said, he appeared to me, and who was an apostle really who came late because he saw Jesus after the ascension, that Paul. But he knew Jesus had been raised from the dead, this Jesus whom he had persecuted. But Paul realized then, because it validated everything, that it once again should change our whole outlook on life, that the resurrection should change the way we live and all of our attitudes, because there is something much better that awaits us, the resurrection, that we're going to live eternal. And so that that changes everything. And Paul would tell us, again, not in this passage, but it goes with Paul's philosophy of, then what should we do? We should run the race in such a way as to win the prize. Right? Paul says, you know, run as one who runs to win, because only the ones who win get the prize. And so we ought to run to win because the prize is of tremendous value. And Paul understood that because the prize is eternal life. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. These are verses that follow what we read and studied this morning. Paul says, I die every day. And we make reference to this and all the things that Paul had gone through, the persecutions, the imprisonments, the beatings. I mean that, brothers, just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? Now, what is this? What's this persecution that I'm going through if it's merely for my own glory or for some human ambition or human purpose? I'll just make a little reference to this because it's part of the passage. It's a little bit of an aside, but it's important. What does it mean he fought wild beasts? Well, in Acts, when it talks about Ephesus and most of the things Paul references that Luke will record for us in Acts, not everything. We have one shipwrecked. Paul said he would have been shipwrecked multiple times. But we have where he was stoned and left for dead, where he'd been beaten, where he'd been arrested, all of those things. And so most scholars believe that when he talks about fighting wild beasts, he's not talking about literally fighting wild animals, although that is a possibility, but more likely that he was fighting those folks who were opposed to the message, that he had fought them at great risk to himself, like fighting a wild animal. If the dead are not raised... All right, so Paul makes this point. And it's the philosophy of a lot of folks, and I understand it. If you're not a believer, this probably should be your philosophy. And it is, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there is no resurrection, then what's the best option for us? Grab all the gusto we can get, right? Enjoy the day. Carpe diem, which has some validity even for Christ, but it is about, enjoy what you got because there's nothing else. So you better do everything, see everything that you can possibly do and gain all that you can gain because this is absolutely all there is. And if you're not a believer and that's your philosophy, it is a logical one to have. And it is really the view of the world, to kind of be selfish, to take care of oneself, and to get what one wants. And the Apostle Paul is saying, if there's no resurrection, then I'm in. That's the right philosophy. But the point is, there is a resurrection. And so we should not live that way, but we should live differently. We should not just live for ourselves, selfishly. It shouldn't be just about our gain and our pleasure, but it should be living in such a way as to win the prize. Running the race in such a way to win the prize. Following it, because he says, I'm willing to suffer. You know, I'm willing to you know, I've really left home. I've given up the power he had. And Paul was in a position of authority and power and prestige. And Paul says, I gave all that up. You know, he traveled on these trips away from home. And it wasn't that he got welcomed every place he went and he was a hero. You remember, he has to leave town. He gets arrested. He gets beaten. All of those things. Why? Because he knows something greater is coming. So as Christians, how should we live? Knowing something greater is coming. We should be investing in what is to come. Okay? Because there is a resurrection. If there wasn't a resurrection, bad advice. But there is a resurrection, and we should be prepared for it. What if you knew you were going to drop dead at 64 and a half? Should you be trying to maximize your Social Security? Wouldn't make any sense, right? Should you be worried a lot about retirement? Long-term savings? Probably not. What should you be doing? Spend it now, right? Go buy yourself a mobile home. Go buy a lake house. Go on vacation. Just spend it. Don't worry about it because you ain't going to need it. But we don't know. So if we live longer than that, what? We better be prepared. We better invest to be prepared. Well, Paul's saying if there wasn't a resurrection, just live it up. But not only, we live in an uncertainty about our future on this earth, right? But Paul said there's no uncertainty about what's to come. That the resurrection is proof of what's coming, and we should invest in that and not spend it all now. All right. And then here he's going to make a point, because why is he giving them this message? I mean, this is basic Christian doctrine, right? Resurrection is the most basic of Christian doctrine. But individuals and groups have come in, both from the Judaizing side and from the pagan side, to say, this is just myth. This is not truth, okay? So there are false teachers that have brought this to the church, especially to the Corinthians. And so Paul is refuting that. And he says something dealing with this issue, but this is true for all of us. This is a principle that has great truth. Do not be misled, Paul says. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, in reading and studying about this, some scholars say this is actually a quote from a popular Greek play that the Corinthians would have been aware of. So he's quoting something they would be familiar, which is not uncommon, because you remember in Acts 17, as he talks to the Athenians, he says, as some of your own poets have said. He quotes their poet. So he's quoting something like sometimes we've been known to quote lines from movies. It's kind of, here's a line from a play that they would know, and he's saying, it's true, bad company corrupts good character. Don't hang out with these people who are teaching this false doctrine, because they are wrong, they are drawing you away, and they are corrupting you. So you should not hang with them, should not deal with them. They are in fact wrong. And he says to this, come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God, and I say this to your shame. What's happened to them? Those who have bought into this are doing what? Eating and drinking for tomorrow we may die. They are sinning because they have lost sight of God and His truth. And He's saying, get rid of those folks who are teaching you this false, because we've taught you the gospel to which this is central. And come back to your senses and understand sound doctrine and live in accordance to sound doctrine. And do away with these folks because they have drawn you away, and come back to God. And Corinth has lots of issues, has lots of moral issues. But this, he says, you know, to your shame, you're ignorant of who God is and what God has done. You should have known better. Why? Because we've taught you. You've had opportunity to know, and you didn't know. Resurrection is a basic principle, a basic truth of our faith, because without it, nothing else makes sense. Without it, everything else is false, because either I tell the truth or I'm a liar, right? So if there's no resurrection, all of this is a lie. That's what Paul would say, but it is truth, and it gives us hope. Because Jesus is the first fruits, it gives us proof to who he is, and so it changes our whole perspective about how we live life and how we react to God, and should encourage us, and it's just good old common sense, then we ought to run the race to win, because the prize is too great to lose. You need to respond. Do that while we stand and sing.